Get ready, friends, to be transported back to 2011.
I don't know that I want to go back there, Ollie, because that was a rough year for me.
Remind me.
Just after I got back from honeymoon, my mother was in a near-fatal car crash, and she was in hospital for 6 weeks. She said, well, of course, if it had happened while you're on honeymoon and I died, we would have just had to not tell you until you got back. That's how she thinks.
That is very Mrs. Zaltzman.
It is so Mrs. Zaltzman, but this episode of Answer Me This, number 186, was first released on the 4th of August 2011, and she was out of hospital by then. So by this point, I know that my mum's not going to die.
Excellent.
But there are some episodes, if you were buying a bundle of Answer Me This's, maybe earlier in this bundle, you would hear somewhere, perhaps you could interpret that I was worried behind the smiles that my mother was in intensive care about to die.
Tears of a clown.
Yeah.
Listen out for the pain, everyone. It's an extra Easter egg reason to get our classic content.
Good times.
which I suppose this is an appropriate moment. I mean, it's completely inappropriate, but hey, you gave it to me.
Right.
This is an appropriate moment to remind you that all of our classic episodes, our first 200 episodes of the show, are available from answermethisstore.com, and it's only $7.99 for a bundle of 10.
I would actually recommend getting the sequel to this episode, number 187, because there is a very entertaining rejoinder to a question we have in this episode about the band Owl City.
That's right, folks. This is the Owl City episode. Hoot! Hoot!
More people remember the Owl City episode than remember Owl City.
I think that's actually probably true.
Some of the references, I've forgotten now what Johnny Marbles was about.
Well, I know, but I only know because I recently tried to get an interview with him for The Modern Man. He said no. So Johnny Marbles is the guy who pied Rupert Murdoch in the House of Commons.
Oh, yes. So,
and Wendy Deng got up and was like, incredible sort of sassy with him. That's the story that we're referring to in the theme tune. And yeah, I thought enough time had passed, and I heard from someone who was a friend of a friend that they had his contact details. So I emailed him and I was like, now's the time. Give me the lowdown. What was it like pieing Rupert Murdoch? Why did you do it? What was it like going to prison for it? And he wrote back and he was basically like, yeah, I've just spent 5 years thinking about one crazy moment in my life. I just don't want to go over it again. Which was fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough, really.
Yeah. The Pennywise sting is current again because there's a new adaptation of Stephen King's It coming out, which looks absolutely terrifying in the trailer.
Who is it that's playing the clown?
It is a sexy young Swedish actor who's one of these Skarsgårds. You know, like Stellan Skarsgård and Alexander Skarsgård, but neither of them. Is he Bill Skarsgård? He's 27, right. So I was quite surprised.
Blonde torso, that kind of thing. That's weird.
Doesn't really matter because he's dressed as Pennywise, so that's a very confusing bit of casting, but interesting. I wonder what they're doing with getting sexy Pennywise.
We also hear from Dave from Smethwick.
It was so nice to hear from Dave from Smethwick again.
I know.
People still write to us often to ask about Dave from Smethwick, and we don't know. We haven't heard from him for 2 or 3 years at this point.
Dave, if you're listening, please do just let us know you're all right, because we genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
And I hope you are.
And listeners are really, really keen for you to be all right.
Yes, exactly.
And you did say you're unwell last time you called, so we worry.
We should, at this point, thank Squarespace for their sponsorship of this episode of Answer Me This.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Have you, and by you I'm talking to the listener, Helen, not you, I know you have.
Thanks.
Have you used their excellent and intuitive internet design software yet? If not, why not? You're some sort of idiot.
Or you're just lazy. But do you just want to sit there on your ass all of your life just thinking, well, I have an idea, but I can't be bothered to put it into action? Do you?
I've got an excellent photographic portfolio that would be very handy to download onto a special app that I could take with me even when I'm not connected to the internet and show everyone what I've got and then direct them to a website with all my pictures on it. But I just can't be asked.
I've got an amazing online business plan, but I think I'm just going to sit here scratching my balls.
Yeah, if you're that person, well, you're our people.
You are who we are, except we sort of fell into this podcast thing accidentally and it made us unlazy, but not intentionally. It's something you can change in an instant. You can get your Squarespace website up and running so quickly. In fact, you can do that for free in the free trial. But if you like it and you want to purchase Squarespace for a year, you can get 10% off if you use our code
ANSWER.
I'd just like to preface this episode by saying there's nothing major in it for which I feel the need to apologise, which is very rare in our back catalogue. Although I am surprised at my choice of favourite library. I'm surprised that I didn't go for the library at the college where we met Ollie, St Catherine's in Oxford. A glorious lump of 60s brutalism with amazing Arne Jacobson chairs.
You can't rewrite history, Helen. Anyway, you're going to enjoy it. It's got Dave from Smethwick. It's got Gavin Osborne. It's got everything. Here it is from 2011. Answer Me This, episode 186. Can Johnny Marbles be trusted to serve prison pudding?
Answer me this, answer me this.
What happens if I show the money to Cuba Gooding?
Answer me this, answer me this. Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
It's Mufti Day!
Every Yay. Day's a Mufti Day when you're self-employed.
That's right. As we said last week, every day here at AMT Towers is Mufti Day because we don't have proper jobs. Well, Martin, Martin has a proper job.
He's got loads of proper jobs, greedy.
Yeah, I wear clothes for work.
Yeah, you wear corduroys and flowery shirts, so it's very borderline workwear.
And so he wears a lab coat here when we're recording. But we implied last week that getting your mufti out for the lads was usually to raise money for charity. Well, Jamie from Haddenham has been in touch to dispute the whole charity issue. He says, our sixth form had a mufti day that wasn't to raise money for charity. Instead, the money was used to pay for a 40-inch LCD telly for our common room.
Very noble.
Wow.
He says, it was the most successful Mufti Day ever.
And you know what? Those people dying in the Horn of Africa, they're like, well, at least they've got a 40-incher. If they had 26-inch telly, I'd just be so upset.
At least they can see those charity appeals in eye-popping HD. I remember the summer fair at my school in the late 90s was to... this is a school that cost about 12 grand a year to send your kids to. Was to raise £120,000 to rebuild the swimming pool.
Well, instead of a coconut shy, they had a foie gras shy.
That was stuck in about 15 minutes for those parents.
I had to take my niece Fuse to the school fete that was a charity fundraiser for the school a few weeks ago, and they paid 50p just to look at a horse, even though they live in the country.
Wow.
The horses all over the place you could look at for free.
And presumably, I mean, I'm guessing this wasn't well guarded, this horse. You could see the horse without paying the 50p at all.
Yeah, if you just stood a bit further back.
A bit further back, yeah.
Was it wearing a burqa?
What was the weirdest exhibit at the school summer fete to raise money for itself?
It was the booze raffle.
Yeah, that's pretty weird for kids.
School.
Yeah, that's pretty odd. When I was about 13 at our summer fair, we had a choice of what stool we wanted to run. We chose it out of a catalogue.
Good one. What did you get?
Well, stupidly, we went for the one that had the coolest name, which was the Purple People Eater.
What?
And we thought that would be fun because it looked fun in the catalogue. It looked like a machine that eats you up and spews you out.
Wow.
And then we got it, and it was just two metal rods with sort of foam pillow around it. And
what, children, like a mangle?
Like a mangle. And children were just going in and hitting their head on the metal as they came out the other side.
Only in the 90s and earlier.
It was a health and safety nightmare. No fun for anyone. Although it was a reasonable revenue stream, but not as much as the bungee wall. Why didn't we go for the bungee wall?
Hi, Helen and Ollie. It's Laurie from Bristol again. Me and my housemate James were just wondering, if you're a man and you're a midwife, are you still a midwife or are you a mid-husband or something else?
If you're a woman doing animal husbandry, can you really be doing animal husbandry or do you have to do animal wifery?
If you're a woman and you're a chairman, are you still the chair or are you a chairwoman?
Chairperson.
Mm. We're just the chair.
Don't call women chairs, Martin.
Yeah, you massive sexist.
That's objectifying, isn't it?
Just because they've got well-turned legs as well. You can't tell the difference.
Anyway, midwife.
Yes.
I didn't think that was midwife as in opposite to husband or companion to husband. I assume that the wife had a different origin in midwife.
Yeah. Right, well, because you've studied Old and Middle English, Ollie, even though
That's
you probably
right.
don't remember.
Oh, yes.
And you remember the word weef?
That I certainly have, that I well know.
What was that? What was that Middle English?
Yeah, you wouldn't understand it. You'd need to spend 3 years at university to understand that.
All amazing. You need to do is add a Y to the beginning of every word.
Oh, why you mighty well in no way.
And an E at the end.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just meant woman, and mid just meant with, so it was the person who was with the woman when she was giving birth.
Right, yeah. So you can be a male midwife.
Yeah, the male version of midwife is midwife.
Midwife.
Here's an extraordinary email now from Michael from Ipswich, who says, I've left my job and spent all my money so that I can train 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, in the hope of making the British archery team for the London Olympics.
Wow. Never going to make the Olympic team working 6 days a week, Michael.
You need to work 8 days a week, 36 hours
that's
a day,
right.
And putting in 200%.
What's the seventh day for? Scratching your ass with an arrow?
No, that's when he's training for the 100 metres. he says, Ollie, answer me this. Am I sad or dedicated? Am I any better than someone on the dole playing with their Xbox all day?
Yeah, I mean, this is quite a big question about the nature of ambition.
Should I bother being in the Olympics?
Yeah.
Because you don't look at the Olympics and think these people are unemployed, living off the state while they bring glory to our country.
Yeah, but the nature of his question really isn't about the purpose of human endeavour. The nature of his question is, what if I don't qualify, then have I wasted my time? Oh. I think we all know that if he qualifies on Team GB and he gets through, even if they don't win, that's probably worth doing in your life just to tell the grandkids about, you know, you tried your best, world stage, pretty good, even if you are just using basically an antique, slightly shit weapon. It's still quite good. But if you don't qualify, then has he wasted his time?
No, again, like, if he had never tried and he'd spent his whole life going, oh, well, the game was right there in Olympics, I could see the stadium from my bedroom window, and I just couldn't be bothered to spend 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for 6 months trying to learn how to do it.
See, I wonder if the fault with this really lies with Sky Sports and ESPN for not broadcasting enough archery. So that if you do very
not?
Well...
How much is enough?
I'm assuming there's not a lot of televised archery in there, so therefore I wonder if... This is the most, by far, the most glamorous thing that Michael can do is try and enter the Olympics. Then it's broadcast all over the world.
However, if he doesn't make the Olympics, there's a fallback because he could go and be a demonstrator at medieval fairs.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a living, though, is it?
It's probably better living than being a sports person.
Yeah, it probably is,
because they don't have any money in the main.
I wonder what the sponsorship deals are if you do win. If he wins a gold in Olympic archery, what do you get to endorse afterwards?
Well, I think he gets to be the face of Bob's Arrow Shop, doesn't he?
Yeah, again, not sure that's a living.
What happened to televised sumo? Because I could swear that when I was a child, say late 80s, early 90s, it was on the telly regularly.
Yeah.
I'd go so far to say hyperbolically all the time. And we had four channels. Where's all the sumo gone?
It's the thrill of the new, wasn't it, then? I mean, obviously not to the Japanese. I think they knew about it before.
I couldn't believe I found myself watching it. But on Eurosport the other day, I watched a bit of beach football.
Ooh, that sounds
difficult. Just football played on the beach.
Isn't that just kicking sand in the face of nerds?
Well, basically, and that was what was kind of cool about it. Like, it added the extra dimension of sand flying everywhere. So people are, like, running into sand. And in all the close-ups in slow motion, you get this kind of sand effect, so it's all a bit Prince of Persia.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Presumably, beach football is not played on British shingle beaches.
I think not.
No. They should do more sports where they just add an element, like...
fire basketball.
That would be very motivating.
Yeah, that would be good.
I suppose when you take your beach football shorts off, just a load of sand falls out onto the floor.
Yeah, they don't televise that, Helen.
You get some very nasty-looking crotch burn,
wouldn't
you?
That's an extra pay-per-view for that.
I've got a question.
Email your question to answermethispodcast@googlemail.com.
To answermethispodcast@googlemail.com.
To answermethispodcast@googlemail.com.
To answermethispodcast@googlemail.com.
Aww. Ellie from Sydney has found love.
Yay!
She says, I've been with my lovely new boyfriend for about a month now.
Well, steady on, the L word's a big one for the first month.
I think that's something that's probably right. Give
lovely,
it time.
Just stick to lovely. She's found lovely.
His mum, it's already involving his parents, has kindly offered to take us out to dinner so she can meet me.
Oh, she's vetting you.
Exactly.
You're not good enough for her, gem of a boy.
Being a uni student, I can never afford a good steak. So I really want to get one. The problem is that steak is usually one of the most expensive things on the menu.
Very true.
So answer me this. Would it be rude or give a bad first impression to order something expensive? P.S. I really like steak.
Oh, do you? I didn't get that impression from the preceding email.
From the fact that you're so moved by this impending choice that you chose to write to us to
across
help you with
across the
it.
World. It is a difficult one. And,
no, it's not.
I think
No, it's not. You go out with someone's parents, you don't order the most expensive thing in the menu, period.
I think you can get away with it if you're not ordering the most expensive cut of steak and if you forego a starter and an expensive drink.
But if the mum wants to feel like it's a luxurious evening out and insists, no, we're going to have a glass of wine. Exactly. And then she has a starter. You can't... she'd be like, no, have a starter. At that point, it'd be rude not to have one. So then she may have raised the stakes in that sense.
The stakes.
But you can't bring on the steak for the main course.
I think there's a complex interplay here.
Oh,
good. So have you done a special data visualisation about it?
Well, I sort of felt that the first time I met Helen's parents, which was in a restaurant in Oxford. It wasn't a steak restaurant.
It was a fish restaurant.
It was a seafood restaurant.
He didn't want to meet them, and I was like, Martin, it's free lunch. We hadn't been going out for very long, but they were up to see me in a play, and I was like, well, Martin, you can... free lunch!
2 weeks, by the way. So a month doesn't seem like such a long time anymore.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Because a week later, Martin wanted me to go to his parents' 25th wedding anniversary party and meet the entire extended family.
That was just payback.
Okay, I've got a devious plan.
Okay.
Pretend that you just went to the doctor and they diagnosed you with an iron deficiency, borderline anemia, and that they recommended you eat red meat, and then she'll be like, well, you better have a steak, I don't want you fainting.
Unless she knows a lot about iron deficiencies.
Is she a haematologist?
But I think, basically, yes, it would be rude for you to order steak, I'm sorry, despite all the caveats about how expensive the restaurant is and how expensive the steak is in comparison to the menu and how generous the woman is being, I think you should always, unfortunately, look down the price list, find the median, and go for that or below.
That's a good point. You're making a first impression. It's the only chance you get.
Yeah,
you can have a steak another time.
Have a steak
time.
Next year.
Yeah.
For your first anniversary.
Take her for everything she's got.
Exactly.
Or prime your boyfriend to order the most expensive thing on the menu so that you seem comparatively
thrifty. Yeah, get him to order the lobster.
I think it is possible, Ellie, yes, for your boyfriend to say to his mother, I want to impress this girl. Can we order something
nice?
Oh,
I see. You've added an extra dimension.
Bring in that psychological warfare there.
Yeah.
Well, Ollie, seeing as you just aced that problem.
That was great.
Do you want to address this one from Rachel from Dudley? She says, I need your help, guys.
Okay.
On the 13th of September, which is my father, Zach Saltzman's 70th birthday.
Happy birthday, Zach.
Not yet.
Well,
it's a month away.
I'm not going to have the opportunity. I'm not going to write him a card.
Aww.
Yeah, that's right, Zach. I'm not going to write you a card.
Well, he's not going to write you one either. He doesn't do cards.
You're not going to get a 70th present from Zach.
I think I'd assume that all along.
Hey, don't assume anything. His family are very long-lived. One of my best friends, Verity, and I are going to see Owl City play at the HMV Institute in Birmingham, which is what my dad's doing to celebrate his birthday. And I have to say, we are so excited. However, being as we are massive fans of Adam Young, I assume he's a resident of the Owl City, or maybe it's Mayor. We're going half an hour early
right.
to try to get as close to the front as possible.
Whoa, is that half an hour before Owl City are due to start playing? Because you will be fucked then.
Well, it depends how popular Owl City are in Birmingham. If they're very popular, then you should leave longer than half an hour.
I think it's got to be half an hour before the doors open, if you're serious about it.
Whoa.
And then at least 3 hours of standing around.
So, Ollie, answer me this. If there are a lot of people in front of us, how do we push our way to the front? We don't want to cause arguments, but we really want to be as close as possible. As well as this, we have a little owl and two letters to throw onto the stage.
Oh.
I am an A student in PE, so I can throw well, but I don't want to hit anyone. What's this owl made of? Logs? So can you give me tips on getting the gifts on the stage? You wouldn't throw, would you, Ollie? That would put your shoulder out.
If she means handwritten letter...
That would be very unusual in the youth of today, wouldn't it?
Why don't you just send them a tweet?
Yeah.
But also, I would say paper aeroplane shaped would be the best way.
Or get Michael from Ipswich to come up with his bow and arrow and that would make a real impact.
Yeah, or I suppose if the crowd's on your side, Rachel, you could just pass the letter up from row to row.
Oh, I think that's very risky, Ollie, because presumably anyone who's in front of her is going to like Owl City even more than Rachel does, which, as we know, is a very, 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 very lot.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be working against her because they don't want to be denied the hand in marriage of Adam Owl. They're going to rip that letter to shreds. Or they'll just be so excited that it doesn't get delivered.
I see the issue.
You could hang around the stage door of the HMV Institute if it has one beforehand and ask them to pass on the owl and the letters.
Yeah, I think it's all about being a little bit savvy. I know you've been a bit savvy by writing to us to try and work out your master plan. Well done for thinking ahead.
We'll have a word with Adam from Owl City. Hoot! That's how we communicate with him.
It really does sound like a football team, Owl City.
Hey, I've got a great idea, Rachel. Why don't you dress up as a giant owl and lay some pellets on the stage?
In the form of love letters?
Yes!
Yeah.
Who are Owl City? Is this a band that you've both heard of that I haven't
heard? I've heard because they did a very bland song.
It was called Fireflies. They're basically a one-hit wonder.
Right.
Sorry, Rachel, but they are.
Well, she's dug a bit deeper into their back catalogue, Ollie, man.
It was called Fireflies.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly. Fireflies.
10,000 fireflies. No, you're putting too much dynamism in it. It was a very bland song. Sorry, Rachel.
There was a song when we were 16 about Abercrombie and Fitch.
Oh, New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits by Light Funky Ones.
Yes, it sounded a bit like that.
No, it doesn't. Right. That was a lot more lively. This one is just like, they're in a hospital bed, they've got the blipping of the machines, and they've got like reduced lung capacity, and this is what they come
up
with.
Well, there's a lot of pollution in Owl City, Helen, which I think you're underestimating.
This is a really detailed description, but I'm none the wiser as to what Owl City
they're
is.
A band.
Saying, like,
they're a band for the kids.
They're a music band that the kids like.
Yes. They eat only mice. I like the fact that what we've been demonstrating in Answer Me This 2011 is a kind of shocked lack of knowledge about youth culture.
I know, it's
in
extraordinary.
Pop.
It is like Michael Winner and Delia Smith sat down to answer the same questions, isn't it? No clue.
What is this Katy Perry? Is she kind of pear cider or not? I must know. When I was young, I never had this urge. It wasn't like, oh my God, Tinder sticks are playing. I've got to be as close to Stuart Staples as possible.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have seen what benefit that would have. I wouldn't have thought, yeah, maybe he'll see me and be in love with me from seeing me. Mm. Like the people that are always trying to get Robert Pattinson from Twilight to look at them because then he'll fall in love with them and see their banners and stuff.
But it's just hysteria, isn't it? They'd freeze if he actually spoke to them. They wouldn't know what to say, actually. Anyway, I would say in terms of getting to the front of the gig, Rachel, that my general tip, it sounds like you haven't been to that many concerts before.
No, because otherwise why would she worry about manners?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, at other concerts she'd get drenched in piss. Yeah,
exactly, just kick your way through.
It's not going to be Ozfest, is it?
No, exactly. If the crowd are very gentle, you can literally push them out the way as if they're elderly, but they're not, so it's fine.
Just look, fight tooth and nail.
Speaking as a gig veteran
and a Birmingham native
one way
and
to
a fan of Owls
one way to make it seem a bit more like you've got a right to be pushing through the crowd is to pretend you're trying to meet up with your friend, kind of be going
yes,
or pretend that you're the drummer and you're late to the stage.
But anyway, I would say generally speaking, right, don't go from the middle to the front, which looks like the thing to do. Go down the side.
Yeah, and then
go
cut
to the
in
side
towards
and
the
then
centre.
Work in. Yeah.
You can often get very, very close to the stage in sort of wings. And then.
And think as well about the instrumentation on the stage. Mm.
Yeah.
You know? And if Mr. Owl is playing a guitar, he's more likely to be looking into the audience. If he's playing a piano, he's going to be looking one way most of the time. You want to be looking at his face, presumably.
Can he swivel his head 180 degrees? Because then he'll probably see you wherever you are.
See wherever you are.
Helen and Ollie, answer me this. I don't want you to dance or kiss, but reveal your theories and take off your muzzle. Ponder my query and solve this puzzle. It's swell. Good golly, you crazy kids. Oh, Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
You know, there's so much you can do nowadays with smartphones, Helen. But when you want to take a break from trying to remember where you parked your car or a local cruising hotspot, you can locate our phone number just by using the old-fashioned method of dialing it in.
Well, phones still do that.
Apparently.
Oh. 0208-123-5877.
Or you could use the Skype app to call us.
Whoa, technology.
Answer me this.
Hello, hello, Annie. This is Dave from Snedic. I'm eating a bag of crisps at the moment. And from one of them multi-bags. It says on the bag, not to be sold separately. Why can't a shop open up a bag, a multi-bag, and sell the crisps, separately? Would they be in trouble? All right. Bye.
Not sure, Dave. Not sure the crisp police would be that concerned about it, so they probably wouldn't be in trouble.
The crisp police would be, because that's all they do, presumably.
It's the biggest offence they have to deal with. Anyone impersonating Gary Lineker is the secondary concern. But it's basically mathematics, Dave, that's why. The suppliers sell them to the shops cheaper as bulk,
yes,
because they're going to be bought in bulk. If the retailer then decides to rip open the packet and sell the individual packets within, they're cheating the suppliers of the money they could have made by selling them individually, do you see?
If our local corner shop, say, went into the nearby Tesco's...
Just by way of example off the top of your head.
And bought one of those 18 packs of hula hoops for £1.
For example, not a specific thing.
And then sold off all the individual packs of hula hoops for 59 pence each.
As they might do in this alleged fantasy.
Economic madness, that's like printing money.
But there is a legal thing as well, which is apparently with foodstuffs, the manufacturers can get out of listing the full nutritional information on every packet. So if you've got a giant packet that says on the outside, this is full of 10 million calories and will definitely kill you, you don't need to mention that on every single individual packet within because you've said it on the front.
Oh, right.
So long as they're not sold separately.
Oh, so the hypothetical small retailer buying from Tesco's, in this case, will be contravening food labelling regulations food standards, by selling individual
packets.
Yes,
they would, yes. And that's something that should concern us all.
Because, of course, it's better if your product contains 10 million calories to only sell it in massive quantities.
That's right. That's basically the rule they seem to follow.
10 times 10 million. Yeah, this I think is fine.
I think, actually, as a small shop owner, it sort of plants ideas in your head, this language. This not to be sold separately. Like, it probably wouldn't occur to you unless you saw that and you thought, you know what I might just very well do?
This would be stealing a march on Walkers.
I might just sell this separately.
Hi, Helen and Ollie. It's Shauna from Ealing and Dom from Twickenham.
And we're in Harrods. If you're wondering why we're in Harrods so long, by the way, it's because I'd never been before and I've lived in London for 16 years. So we decided to go because we're cool like that.
Helen and Ollie and Martin, answer us this. If you could live in any section of Harrods, what would it be?
Do you think they mean you can only live in one section of Harrods? Because if so, you'd have to live in one that had food in it.
Yeah, oh, this is a really hard choice, isn't it? If you're including the food hall. I mean, it's a really tough... Would you like to live in one of the finest food halls in the world or the section that just sells cashmere scarves? Would you like to live in one of the finest food halls in the world or the section that sells glittery accessories for pets?
Oh,
what the
yes,
fuck
that
do
one.
You think? Obviously, I'd like to live in one of the finest food halls in the world. Thank you. Stupid.
Would you like to sleep inside a giant Easter egg or on top of a pile of expensive shoes for old women?
If it were just for a very short period of time, I suppose it would be fun, for example, to live in... They've got a bank in Harrods, which sells...
Boring! I hate to live in a bank.
Yeah, you might hate it, Ellen, but what if you could make off with some gold bullion? If you're there for 3 days, you could leave with a stash of gold bars.
But why not just go to the Harrods jewellery department and get some gold that's been wrought into funny shapes with sparkly bits?
Yeah, because then you could wear it and then sell it in the heist.
But to be honest, if I was going to have to live in a department store, I don't think it would be Harrods. Knightsbridge is not an area that I really cleave to. Even when I'm on the bus through Knightsbridge, I feel like I don't belong there.
I've got another question. You know King's Cross St Pancras?
Yeah.
That was a pause for you to say yeah. Is St Pancras a real saint? I'm assuming he is. But is he patron saint of pancreases?
St Pancras is a real saint. In fact, there are two St Pancrases, but the one that St Pancras, the North London station, was named after, is St Pancras of Rome, who was beheaded for his religious beliefs at the age of 14. Around 300 AD.
Wow.
14.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
That's precocious.
Pretty harsh, isn't it?
He's the Bieber of saints. Here's a great fact about St Pancras, Ollie, that I think you're going to enjoy.
Good.
St Pancras Day...
Yes.
It's your birthday!
Oh, wow.
And St Pancras is the patron saint of cramps, headaches and perjury.
Perfect.
All the things that you like.
That's how I celebrate my birthday every year.
With PMS.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Pennywise the Clown from Stephen King's It. When not abusing children or turning into a giant spider, I like to sit in my sewer listening to AnswerMeThisPodcast.com.
Here's a question from Jill in Melbourne who says, Ollie, answer me this. What is the point of the Wingdings fonts on Microsoft Word?
Good
I hear you,
question.
Jill. And does anyone have any use for them?
Well, there are some symbols in Wingdings which are quite common and you can see the purpose for, like an envelope. So people often put that on a poster to mean email and then a picture of a phone to telephone. So those are things you can do in Wingdings.
A poster, by which you mean a really shit poster where someone has done it in Comic Sans font and some clip art.
They're supposed to be an easy shortcut for some of the symbols that pre-word processing were popular things people asked printers to print.
Printers with metal blocks.
Printers with metal blocks,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realise you knew about them.
Yeah. So, like in a national newspaper, there would be cause, for example, to do a Star of David.
Yeah.
Or the at symbol was one of these as well, actually,
although
that's not in Wingdings. So the printing press would have a stockpile of regularly used but not essential characters.
Oh, so they just chuck them all into the Wingdings.
And they're all in Wingdings, basically. Yeah. So it's for printers to have a quick reference to a symbol.
I bet nobody using Wingdings thinks I am in the rich history of printers having these symbols already on their metal blocks at their disposal. They probably think, oh, this will look funny if I repeat it and make a border out of it.
What's weird is the characters are attributed pretty randomly to letters from the alphabet.
Oh, so it's not like envelope is on the E key.
Exactly. Apparently there was a controversy in...
Oh, I bet there was.
In 1992... after the release of Windows 3.1. We all remember where we were when that happened.
I feel like that was the last day of childhood.
Because Wingdings was released at that point. Apparently what happened is someone tried typing NYC to see what it would be. And it came up as a skull and crossbones, a Star of David, and a thumbs up. This was interpreted to be an anti-Semitic gesture by Microsoft. So they then, in the later version, Webdings.
Oh, Webdings, which is the now, poor cousin.
Yeah, exactly. If you type NYC, that gives you an eye, a heart, and a city skyline.
Oh, cop out. Yeah. I remember when I discovered Wingdings in the mid-90s, just thinking they were hilarious.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe what a computer was capable of.
It is funny to translate a large amount of text into Wingdings just to see how it looks.
It's just to upset my dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just for a minute, go, oh, God, the computer's gone weird. Yeah. What? Here's a question from Caitlin, who says, I am currently sleeping. Sleeping and emailing at the same time.
That's the kind of thing that I do. I have these mental sleep hallucinations.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't sent you some really weird texts in the night.
I'm currently sleeping in a metal bed, which I bought 2 weeks ago from IKEA. It's a cabin bed.
What's wrong with those?
It's a bed on stilts, basically, which he says serves no purpose except to make you feel unsafe and very tall. This means I have a large empty space under my bed.
Good for storing old newspapers in.
Yeah, but have you seen a cabin bed? You get like 6 foot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of old newspapers.
That's enough for me.
She doesn't say, I work for the Wall Street Journal and I manage their archive.
She doesn't say, I buy 2 Sunday papers and blow me if I'm going to get through those in the week.
My boyfriend and I tried to make this into a secret clubhouse. What are you, 10?
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Or a den or a cushion lair, but it was too small for his freakishly tall legs. So now we don't know what to do with it. It seems silly not to use it for anything. So Helen, answer me this. What should I use the space under my cabin bed for?
Why can't you do the cushion lair, but your boyfriend sits down? Can he really have legs that exceed 6 feet when bent?
That would be an exceptionally tall man.
IKEA's website says that this bed has ample room for storage, a desk, or a seating area. Former flatmate of the show, Matthew Crosby, had one to maximise the space in his smallish bedroom that we rented out to him.
Yes.
It was so that he could have a chest of drawers under the bed and store things under the bed, as you mentioned, Caitlin. Storage.
Yeah, he
optimal.
Had a desk there as well, didn't he? Or at least he used to put his laptop on it, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what he had there, Ollie. He had the empty chest of drawers that I'd taken pains to obtain for him. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the ladder leading up to the bed, he had all of his clothes in a heap. And he never used the space under the bed for anything at all. But apparently he did used to store 20-year-old timeouts in the beds.
Right.
Yes.
Everyone needs 20-year-old timeouts when they're trying to sleep.
They're softer than duvets.
I'm tired. I know what would help. Reading what Malcolm Hay said in 1994.
Last year, Ollie and I stayed in a hotel in Manchester, which was very cheap. I think it was 25 quid each a night.
Let's give it credit. It was the ETAP in Salford.
It was.
And mwah.
and that had those bunk beds which have a double bed on the bottom and a single bunk on top, which is great for pervs.
Yes.
And I remember that my bed sloped on 2 axes.
Weird. They didn't think to provide us with a soft towel or a window that opened, but it was very important to have 3 beds, one of which looked out on the other two.
Oh, my window opened, Ollie. You could have jumped right out of that thing.
What do you think about that in hotels when they do that? When the suicide windows?
Oh, it's horrible.
But you see why they've done it.
If you booked in to commit suicide,
then you should be allowed to.
What kind of customer service is this?
I'm not going to spend £25 to kill myself and then be denied at the last moment.
Yeah, they wouldn't say, no, we're not going to deliver a third omelette to your room because you might have a heart attack, would they?
No more booze for you.
G'day, I'm a daredevil. Answer me this. How many wasabi peas can I put in my mouth at once and continue reading this sentence? Just 5.
Well, here's a question from Joe in London, who says, I went home with 2 girls a few weeks ago, not knowing which one I was going to sleep with.
I know, neither of them.
No, you're wrong. So I fucked one. Then when she fell asleep, I went into the other bedroom and fucked the other one.
No, you didn't.
Well, he has to write to us because Penthouse has shut down. And recently, I fucked my friend that was very close to getting married to her man friend.
You sound like a real catch.
She's now leaving her boyfriend for me.
But I'm not so sure of her, because she's an infidel, proven.
Yeah.
The girl I was really interested in and seeing for a little while said that we should just be friends. So, Ollie, answer me this. Why do I only want what I can't have? Because that's what everybody wants the most.
Yeah.
And when will I turn into a real person?
When you stop making up fictional fucking.
And what is your favourite library?
Okay.
Joe's words. Joe's actual words, everybody. Yes.
Are you sure you didn't just insert that?
And P.S., I've listened to 30 of your podcasts in 3 days. Now, how is that possible with all the fucking?
Yeah,
that just gives the lie. Anyone who would do that has not fucked three people.
Anyone who's listened to 30 podcasts in 3 days is a virgin.
Their genitals have gone back into their body.
Right, I'll deal with the library part of that question.
Safest bit.
You know, actually, I quite like... I know it's an obvious choice, this, but I quite like the British Library.
Oh, that is good. It's ugly on the outside, smooth in the middle.
And smoking hot. And I mean, you can really get a sweat on in the British Library.
It is hot. Well, most libraries I find
most
really hot, which is
hot.
Why I fall asleep in them.
Yeah.
I like the fact that in the British Library, there's a little architect's model of the British Library. So even though it's ugly on the outside, you get to view it whilst inside, as if you're outside and a giant.
And inside the model, is there another architect's model of the model of the model?
Whoa, you're blowing my mind, Ollie. One of my favourite libraries is the Peckham Library, where I used
that
to...
That won an award, didn't it? Library. Architectural
it did
award.
It's a very interesting building. Not many books in it, and again, very hot, so yeah. I used to go there and think, oh, best intentions, but it's...
Yeah.
But amazing view through multicoloured glass all out over London, like St Paul's and stuff.
Oh, really?
The kind of sheen, because it's all coloured glass at the back. But that's pretty cool, because it makes the area more interesting, and also there's often a French market selling nice salami outside.
Start thinking about lunch.
Mm. Well, I'm spent. That's all the podcasting I'm going to be doing today, and...
No one wants to hear me sitting by myself. So, we'll see you next week for more. If you have a question for that week's episode, all the details are on our website with how to send that to us. Our website is...
AnswerMeThisPodcast.com,
where you can also purchase for British money, or American dollars, or whatever currency you like, frankly, krona, we're up for it, our first 80 episodes.
Yay.
For only 79 pence each. Not to be sold separately, though.
Yes.
Crucially.
In bundles of five.
As we've learned.
And also on our website, we'll put a link to Martin the Soundman's latest episode of his Sound of the Ladies podcast. Is it episode 40 you've come up with, Martin?
41, actually. Right? Yeah.
41st podcast. Probably the most deranged song I've ever heard from you thus far.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet. What's it like?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Right. That pretty much sums up. Martin says brilliant. Helen says deranged.
It's banjo afrobeat with slap bass.
That is my favourite genre. Yeah.
I didn't know that was
I've
a genre.
I've got a banjo afrobeat playlist.
And I don't want to give anything away, but if you're a fan of people giving birth to unusual objects, this is for you.
Okay, good. I look forward to listening to that on the drive home and freaking out. Bye! Helen and Ollie.